Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew, and we are live tonight taking your calls, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe there's something that's you heard in church recently and you're not so sure about it, well, let's talk it over. Let's make it a conversation together with open lines, very little wait, 877-655-6755. We're going to start out in Trinidad, and we'll talk with Star. Wow. Hey, Star, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, good night.
Hi.
I want to ask maybe a bit of a strange question. I would like to know, is it as simple as every single human being, it's either one of two things, either we are in Adam or we are in Christ? And I want to know, like, in a situation where, so let's say someone is, you're in Christ and you just decide you don't want to be in Christ anymore.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, could you answer that question?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. Well, it's an impossibility. I mean, you're right that you're either in Adam or in Christ. But once you're in Christ, who you were in Adam has died. Romans 6 tells us this, that we are the old self, and that our old self died. Colossians says we laid aside the old self. Ephesians says we laid aside the old self. Romans 6 says the old self died. Galatians 2:20 says we were crucified with Christ. So we're trying to become a dead man. We're trying to become something that is already dead, buried, and gone. It died with Jesus, and we were resurrected to newness of life. So it's impossible to be unsaved. It's impossible to be unborn once you've been born of God, once you've been born again. It's like this. I mean, if your old self died and you're the new self, and then if you were hypothetically to lose your salvation, well, you would be nobody. I mean, there you would be lying limp on the floor. You'd be nobody because your old self died. You're not the new self anymore, so you have no self. Well, that's an impossibility. I mean, it just doesn't happen because the only thing that would cause you to lose life in Christ would be, hypothetically, committing some sort of sin. Well, what did God do with your sins? He took them away. He forgave them. He forgot them. He remembers them no more. He has taken them away as far as the east is from the west. So, you know, the sin issue is dealt with. It's over. You're a totally forgiven person. So, you know, Adam and Eve, they sinned one time and lost life. We sin every day. Every single day we sin and we don't lose life. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. So that's very real. Eternal life is eternal. It's not temporary. And, you know, you say, well, what if somebody renounces their belief? Well, if they're a true born-again believer, it's more than a belief. It's a heart surgery. It's more than a belief. It's co-crucifixion with Christ. It's more than some statement of faith. It is a DNA swap at the core of their being, as God took out their heart of stone and gave a new heart to us. So, you know, that's what real salvation is. Real salvation is not just saying, I believe. Real salvation is having someone clean house and move in. Real salvation is not just saying, I want to go to church. Real salvation is saying, I want to become the church, and I want to have Christ himself inhabit me. And that is a big deal, and when it happens, it's irreversible. So a true believer, Ephesians 6 says, we have an undying love for Jesus that will not fade away. That's worth talking about. That's worth celebrating. So many people are worried about, what if I stop believing? What if I stop loving God? What if I change my mind? What if I doubt? What if I? And they're focused on their works. They're focused on their love. They're focused on their commitment. They're focused on their consistency, on their dedication. That's not what keeps us saved. What keeps us saved is the indestructible life of Jesus Christ. What keeps us saved is the fact that Christ's life is eternal, and it says he is able to save us completely because he always lives to intercede for us. So that is so beautiful, isn't it? I just love that. He is able to save us completely because he always lives. So the length of your salvation is tied up in the length of Jesus' life. The length of your salvation is tied up in how long Jesus lives. It's not about how good you live. It's about how long Jesus lives. And because he's eternal, then you are saved forever. That is so cool. All right, let's go to South Florida. We'll talk with Jamal. Hey, Jamal. Hey, Jamal, are you there?
Hi, Pastor Farley. How are you?
Hey, good, good. What have you got for us, Jamal?
So, obviously, as I mentioned previously, the times I've called, you've introduced me to the grace of God, and I'm so happy it has really introduced me to a life of liberty. But I was really thinking today, and I just wanted to call and get your feedback. Why is the grace of God so important to God, and why is the grace of God so important to us? And when you answer that, I would definitely, you know, that would definitely be even more life transformation. So I just wanted to get feedback regarding
that. Yeah. All right, Jamal, that's a great question. Well, I mean, you know, grace is not some trendy movement. Grace is not some focus that we decide we're going to have. It's interesting when people ask me, you know, what is my broadcast about? What is our ministry about? And I say, well, we talk about the grace of God. They say, oh yeah, that's a neat focus. Or, oh, that's an interesting focus. Or you kind of get the impression, many people believe that we master the topic of grace. And then, well, we move on. You know, we graduate from grace. We move on to application or something. Well, the Bible tells us that the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. So the grace of God is the application. Because if I want to say no to sin, I'm going to need to understand the grace of God. The grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. So we don't graduate from God's grace. God's grace is important because it is the covenant. I mean, the new covenant is a covenant of grace. You're not under the law. You're under grace. We talk about identity in Christ. How did we get it? Well, we got our new identity because of God's grace. We talk about forgiveness. How did we get forgiveness? Because of the new covenant of God's grace. So Paul calls the gospel the gospel of grace. Grace is not a trendy movement. It's not a special focus. It's not a, you know, people today, we even use the terms the grace message. Well, the grace message is the gospel. It's not like you've got the gospel over here and we're going to choose to emphasize the grace message. No, the gospel is the gospel of God's grace. So it's more than just important. It's critical. It's crucial. It's everything. Jesus is full of grace and truth. And what is the truth? Well, the truth is he has rescued us from being under the condemnation of the law, and he has placed us under his grace, and that is something that we can celebrate to the fullest and recognize that his power is made perfect in our weakness. And so his grace is sufficient for us. Jamal, I appreciate your questions. You've always got great ones. And this one here, you know, people will need to hear, because there's attacks on God's grace. Oh, we need to balance grace. Oh, it needs to be grace plus truth, as if truth is somehow the opposite of grace. We need to balance grace and truth. No, we need Jesus. And Jesus is full of grace. Jesus is full of truth. Everything is in Christ anyway. So, I appreciate your call, appreciate your question. And just remember, there is no other gospel. There's one gospel. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And then how do we grow? Well, just as you received him, so walk in him. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now going to be perfected by human effort? No. It's grace. It's grace from start to finish. Thanks, Jamal. Call back anytime. We'd love to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Arlington, Texas, and we'll talk with Rayetta. Hi, Rayetta.
Hello. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just, last year I lost a child.
Uh-huh.
And only 1 year I lost a child, I lost a home. And I've been saved since July 4th, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I just feel like I'm walking alone, and I've been crying out to God, and I don't know. I'm just feeling alone. I know he's there, but I'm feeling alone. If I ask him something, he used to answer me, but now it's like I'm not hearing. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm reading my word. I'm meditating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm encouraging others. I'm doing what God asked me to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. And in July of 2006, Rayetta, did you invite Christ to live inside of you?
Oh, yes. It was beautiful. At that time, everybody was partying, and that's a celebration time, and I was in the world. But I got saved that day,
mm-hmm.
and filled with the Holy Ghost, and
mm-hmm.
and I love God with my every being.
Yeah.
And anything that I ask, he gives me. You know, it's just like now it's like it's quiet time.
Okay. Okay.
I don't hear anything.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about that, Rayetta. You know, I think it's a beautiful time for you. And I know it's difficult, and you're not so sure about my words yet, but what a beautiful time, this quiet time. Because now your confidence is not going to be in him giving you stuff, but your confidence is going to be in knowing that he's a promise keeper, and that when you open the door of your life, he promised to come in. And he said, I'll never leave Rayetta. I'll never forsake Rayetta. Nobody can snatch me, Rayetta out of my hand. And Rayetta will be saved as long as Jesus lives to intercede for her. I mean, those are the promises of Scripture. And so you called this time a quiet time. And I've experienced many of those quiet times, as so many believers have. We start out in a certain joy and a certain peace in our Christian life at the very beginning. We're so excited to share Jesus, and everything seems to be firing on all cylinders, and our emotions feel great. And then 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years later, even 5 decades later, somebody's experiencing emotional bankruptcy. I mean, we're not feeling anything. We're feeling numb. We're feeling alone. We're feeling nothing. And so we begin to say, God, where are you? What are you up to? Have you left me? And you know what God's trying to teach us during this emotional time, or this bankruptcy time, this quiet time? He wants to show us that, you know what, you lost a child, but I am with you. You lost your home, but I am with you. You feel nothing, but I am with you. And I want you to believe that. I want you to know that. It is a knowing, not a feeling. Now, Rayetta, you might ask 25 people the question that you asked me tonight, and there's a chance that in those 25 answers, you might get 25 formulas. Oh, Rayetta, what you need is a second baptism. Oh, Rayetta, what you need is the gift of tongues. Oh, Rayetta, what you need is to make sure you're squared away on your tithing. Oh, Rayetta, what you need is to go to this revival. Oh, Rayetta, what you need is you need a more sincere prayer life. Oh, Rayetta, what you need. And you could fill in the blank there with 25 things that folks are going to try to prop up your emotions on and get you to feel something different. Well, here's what I'm saying. Prop yourself up on the simple truth of the cross and the resurrection. You are one with Jesus Christ. You are united with Him. You are one spirit with the Lord. Corinthians says, you have been raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You don't need a revival. You don't need another spiritual gift. You don't need to chase after something. You are complete in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you have everything you need for life and godliness. You have the Son, you have the life, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are one with the Lord, but closeness to God is not a feeling. Closeness to God is a fact. Now, people will sit in a church service and they'll say, God, please come down into this place, Holy Spirit, rain on us, come be with us, come fill this place. And on the begging and the pleading and the prayers go that God might just swoop down out of heaven and visit that church service for a while. Well, you know, people may drum up emotions and the music is blaring and everybody feels something, but 28 minutes later, they're in the parking lot. They're in the parking lot where there is no music. There are no magic words. There are no prayers on stage. There is no smoke or light shows. And now they're in the parking lot confronting Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week. And they're wondering, where is God? You know, God wants us to know something. As New Testament believers who are indwelt by the Spirit, who are one with Christ, who are raised and seated, who are hidden with Christ in God, we don't have to beg for His presence. He's not interested in visiting us. He's already cleaned house and taken up permanent residence inside of us. Well, yeah, but I want to feel Him. Well, He's not a feeling. He's a person. Yeah, but I want my emotions to experience. He's not an emotion. He's a spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let's do what the Bible invites us to do. Count yourself alive to God. Yeah, but I don't feel. Well, it doesn't say count yourself as feeling something. It says count yourself dead to sin and count yourself alive to God. So count yourself as new, a new creation. Count yourself as alive. Count yourself as connected to Jesus. That is what this quiet time is about in your life right now, Rayetta. It's a journey, and there's not a lot of noise, and there's not a lot of emotions, but there is you and Jesus, together, united, connected, and He wants to show you His love. He wants to show you His care. He wants to show you His presence, but it is a showing by faith, not by feeling. So try this on for size. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank You for Your constant presence with me. Father, I believe You. I believe that You have not forsaken me. I believe that You are with me. I believe that I am united with Christ. I believe that I am one spirit with the Lord. Remind me to count myself alive and connected to you, even when I feel nothing. Rayetta, that is the prayer of my heart for you as well, that you would embrace this quiet time and that it would be an adventure for you to learn to walk by faith, not by feeling. Hang on just a moment. I want to send you a book that I wrote. It's called Relaxing with God, and I think it'll be a real encouragement to you. Don't go anywhere. We'll send it your way this week. For Christmas, in fact. So I hope you enjoy it. Read it over the holidays and call us back anytime, Rayetta. Hang on the line there. Well, this book is called Relaxing with God. And if that sounds like something you want to do this Christmas season or you want to help a friend do, go to Amazon.com and get Relaxing with God for your friends and family members. What a great stocking stuffer, as it is focused on the finished work of Jesus Christ and what it means to be totally forgiven and living under grace and joined to Jesus forever. The book, it's called Relaxing with God. All right, let's go now to Toronto, Canada, and we'll talk with Lou. Hey, Lou.
Hey, hi, Pastor Farley. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I love your show, and I want to thank you for Relaxing with God. That book has really helped me relax with God, and I want to thank you for that. But, Pastor Farley,
awesome.
I have a couple of questions, one relating to the Old Covenant and how I believe I need some clarification how the Old Covenant could actually help us by not following it. It helps us not sin. I mean, that's a bit of a contradiction in my mind. And I'm wondering if you can clarify that. And the other thing, Pastor Farley, is the forgiveness. I know we have the grace of God when we accepted the cross, but should we not be asking for forgiveness every time we sin? And I wonder if you can clarify that. Just those two areas, Pastor Farley.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, under the Old Covenant, of course, the law, having it and being Israel, was better than not being Israel. I mean, the Gentiles, as Ephesians puts it, the Gentiles had no covenant, they had no hope, they had no God, and they were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, so that's not a good predicament to be in. Would you rather be Israel in the Old Testament or be the Gentiles? Well, I would choose Israel 10 times out of 10. Nevertheless, we learn a little secret about law-keeping, and that is nobody could keep the law, nobody could fulfill the law except Jesus. And in fact, Paul reveals to us, and the book of Hebrews revealed to us, that the law, under the law, you know, you got the consciousness of sins. And as Romans 7 says, the law came in, and then what happened? Sin seized opportunity through the commandment. And then it says, apart from the law, sin is dead. So is the law sinful? Is the law bad? Is the law evil? Of course not. The law is holy and good. And Paul wanted us to know that. God wants us to know that. The law is holy and perfect and good. There's nothing wrong with the law. But you put me under the law, and it is a sin fest. I mean, I am going to become aware of my sinning more and more and more, to where it could be pretty depressing, and I'm going to be looking for a way out. Well, that way out is called justification by faith. I don't get right with God simply by confronting sin. I get right with God by believing Him and being justified by faith. That's how the prostitute Rahab was justified. That's how Abraham was justified. So, you know, God brought the law in, and it was the best thing going, but people, in terms of being saved, they were always saved by faith. Now, to answer your question about asking for forgiveness, you know, we only have 20 seconds left, but in that time I'll say, what do we do when we sin? Well, let's turn from sin. Let's turn from sin and trust Jesus for a new way to live. We don't have to ask and plead and beg for forgiveness, but let's turn and trust Him.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.